Morning. We got a lot we want to get done this morning. Let's begin with a word of prayer. All right, the purpose of the prayer is to test yourself, see if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit, and therefore your worship of God will be true worship. We looked at a passage in the first class, and that God is seeking out a new breed of people to worship Him. Not all worship is true worship. And true worship can only be done in the power of the Holy Spirit. So there's a lot of worship goes on as worship, but it's not worship before God. Only worship done in the Holy Spirit is accessible to God. So let's begin with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this assembly. How grateful we are for the opportunities that you give to us to serve you. The internet, missionaries, young people, and right here in our own assembly. And we pray, Father, that all we do this morning will be glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, getting ready for this week at camp, would you open up to 461? 461, I love to tell the story, and I hope you do. Let's stand and sing together. Thank you. Now, Rick, you're going to have to tell your mother, Miss Hallett, she doesn't get the flower for coming the longest distance. It goes to Katharina. This lady in front of you right here came all the way from Greece. So, but we're glad to have both of you. Let's see. Got a lot of things I want to talk about. First of all, let's continue to be in prayer for Tish. She's still... What would be the word left working with, trying to figure out what's going on with her body, her heart, and all. So, please be in prayer for Tish. And Tomorrow she sees a doctor, so please be in prayer if the doctor has wisdom that will work for her improvement. Let's see, any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of that we need to be in prayer for? Yes.
There's a little girl in Greece named Mariam, who's had some heart problems and had open heart surgery, and the doctors didn't do a really good job. She's 5 years old.
She had the big surgery. She had 3 or 4. That was the Wednesday. She had the fourth one. The fourth? Yeah. And the big one, the doctors failed, let's say. It was when she was 2 years old, so she had more problems, like she refused to eat and things like that. So my sister, because she protects her, let's say, she asked me if I could tell you to pray for her, because she was afraid of her.
She has a good hands, Dr. Rice.
Yeah, she's going back to Italy to take the surgery, so she will come back in September. So that's why I thought that.
What's her first name?
Mariam.
Okay. Please be in prayer. Any other prayer requests?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, Devil in Pakistan, he's got a full schedule for the next month and a half. But especially his brother, Chris, is going, he's right now in Islamabad. He'll have a meeting with the embassy to get a visa. We're hoping that by God's grace and his approval, that Chris will be able to get a visa to come and visit us when we leave all together and begin. So pray for a spirit of affirmation to come over.
His wife. And we're glad to have you here this morning. How are things going in Pakistan?
Oh, great. Yeah.
How is it?
Yeah, he's got a conference this weekend. Youth conference. He'll be teaching the story of Joseph.
In Pakistan.
All right. Youth in Pakistan is considered like it's 16, 17, all the way up until you're not married. Until you're married, which is usually about 30. By the time you're 30, you're getting married.
You're 35 and
yeah, right here. But anyway, so yes, he's got that conference, another conference, and then I'll be joining him in 3 weeks. So.
You'll be joining him in 3 weeks? Yeah. All right, good.
But
very
right
good.
Now, Chris has an appointment. This is his second appointment. He was rejected. He said he didn't show enough proof that he would return. And the big thing is it's mostly a Muslim nation, and they do accept more of their own kind.
Okay.
So once they find out you're Christian, they're just...
And what about opposition?
Next
year? Yeah.
There's always a wall of opposition. But our wall is much bigger.
Yeah.
Much bigger.
Is the opposition heated every day?
No. In December it was. They wouldn't even let me go anywhere, and they didn't want Bethel to go anywhere.
Yeah, for Christian people.
Yeah.
So
yeah, there was a lot of intolerance that they were going to blow up churches and kidnap anybody that they think they'd be in line for.
The pastor, as he teaches us the 2 conferences coming up. Good. All right. Wonderful. Thank you. Good to have you here. All right. Have you introduced her to Katharina? I'd have to get out a map, Katharina, to find out if Pakistan or Greece, which one is further. any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of? All right. Let's talk for a moment about next week. Well, actually tonight, tomorrow, starting. Tomorrow morning, the young people will leave on the bus at 10 o'clock from Clark High School. And so... please be in prayer for travel, getting here, getting to the bus to the camp. Be in prayer for safety at the camp. Be in prayer back home from the camp. Some kind of tragedy, it's God's plan, it's fine, but it always seems to mar a wonderful time. So let's pray for safety in travel, safety while they're there, and safety when they go home. Now, I'm not going to talk on that anymore. Chris, what do you have to say for prayer?
So, Lots of moving parts, and I keep getting asked, are we ready? It doesn't really matter. It's coming. So a couple of things to be in prayer for, as Pastor Maddox said, safety of all the travel. Specifically, please be in prayer for Brian and Chris. They are both running all of the facility stuff and setting things up, and they've already had some challenges with heat this morning. So please be in prayer for them, but also all the kids. It is hot.
Yeah.
I mean, I sent a note out to the families last, thank you, Leslie, for doing that, by the way. We got a note out that said, hey, we are going to camp in July in Texas. It's hot. It's really hot. So we were up there yesterday. So please be in prayer that all the kids will, that the staff has the wisdom to get themselves out of the heat when necessary, and they have the attention to make sure the kids are getting out of the heat when necessary. That's a very specific prayer, at least for the next couple of days, because it's...
He's talking about Brian Rice.
Yeah, Brian.
And his helper, Chris.
Chris Kelly.
And Brian, make sure the water is all over the camp where these kids will be. So, that's what I'm
and then the, you know, we're all going to have a good time, and we all pray for safety up there, but even more so than the safety of the kids, pray that the Holy Spirit will just descend upon this camp and every single one of us that are up there and just open our hearts to the truth. Herman's going to be teaching. Joey Brown's going to be teaching. I'm going to be teaching. We've got a whole group of small group teachers, a lot of the counselors, Lori and Larry, Trey and Carrie's going to be coming up. Going to be teaching as well. So there are a lot of people that are going to be teaching Jesus My Everything. What is it about? What does it mean? How does it impact your life? We need these kids to open their hearts up. We need the Holy Spirit to open their hearts to the truth and just pour it in. And then they have to decide. Right? And so that's the prayer. Everything else beyond that is safety and food and activities and fun. But if they walk away with the Holy Spirit just pouring into their hearts, then we've done our jobs. Right? And so that's what we're looking for the prayer this week. So couple of those two things, the kids and all of us, hearts will be open, and that we will stay safe from the heat specifically. So.
Questions for Chris? Okay.
Oh, yes. Sorry. Thank you. Everybody is invited up Thursday night. It will not be 107 degrees. So everybody's invited up on Thursday night. It's 7:30 up at Lake Texoma at the camp. We have a talent show. It's an amazing event that the kids put on all kinds of skits, and we have music, and it takes about an hour and a half. I know people work on Friday morning, but it's worth it. And then when we get done with that, any of the kids that have chosen to be baptized, we will do in the lake right after our talent show. And so we require the kids to call their parents and have that conversation. If their parents say yes, then we will baptizing them in the lake, and it's a awesome, wonderful experience to see that.
So far, we have not lost one in the lake.
We almost lost Herm last year. This year, he's wearing a life jacket. But sincerely, we would love to have you. We have lots of room. We have new stuff up there, and it's going to be an amazing night. We would love to have you join us if you can. It's late night. It's usually pretty miserable Friday, but if you keep thinking about what happened on Thursday night, Friday goes really easy. So please join us if you can. We'd love to have you. Anything else, babe? Hey, Bess. Awesome. Thank you.
Now, if you're up on the news and you know that there's a group of pastors saying the world's going to come to an end Friday.
It's coming Friday.
It's coming Friday.
Oh, hallelujah.
So we got to be sure they're saved. So it'll be the blood moon Friday and Saturday, and the world's supposed to come to an end. And that's what happens with kooks. These people, and what is so amazing, they make the headlines. And the reason they make the headlines, the world's laughing at them. The world's laughing at them. This has been going on. McGee, who started this, Hagee, in 2011, he started this blood moon thing, and it didn't happen. And everybody was still here after the date he set. Well, now they've miscalculated. So it's going to be this coming week. we can. So it's just amazing. Prophecy is encouraging. Prophecy is edifying. But be careful with it. That's why I beckon you and I encourage you. You can listen to Hal Lindsey on Friday night. He is so good. He stays with the Word of God. No dates. Just talks about this is what's going on. What's going on in China, Russia. These are all things. Europe. What's going on in Europe? One of the things that's kind of bothered me in getting, if we are close to the rapture, Europe has to have a strong military force. And they don't. They're completely dismantled. Well, what is happening now, Hal Lindsey just pointed out Friday night, they're starting to build up military all over Europe now. And so, it just different things, it's well worth paying attention to. But don't get so caught up, well, it's going to happen on this date. No one knows. No one. So, just plan on coming Thursday night, and if it does happen Friday, you don't have to worry about it. But it's not going to. Okay. Any other requests or statements or things? Please be in prayer. People, 60 seconds, three times a day, starting today, is not intruding too much on you. I don't ask for a whole lot. 60 seconds, three times in your day, today, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, is not demanding too much. You pick the subject. Pray for the kids. Pray for their health. Pray for their welfare. Pray for their spiritual insight. Pray for the teachers. Pray for the counselors. Pray for the staff. Pray for the kitchen staff. Pray for Brian Wise and Chris. Just pray for the weather. Whatever you want to choose. And just 60 seconds. Don't do it while you're driving. Don't close your eyes and pray. That always scares me. People are going to do that. Don't do that. But when you pick the time, just go into prayer. Read for 60 seconds, something about the camp, three times. And I encourage you, at least one of those each day, for the spiritual working of the Holy Spirit on these young people. That's what we're there for. They're holding tomorrow. Most of us will be gone. It's about them and tomorrow. So, they're very important. The Word of God declares whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give, not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. The gracious giver is first of all defined as one who has personally believed in Jesus Christ as Savior, and then one who understands how to be filled with the Spirit by grace through faith, so that their time and money is under the leading of the Holy Spirit. With these things in mind, let's prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, we know we're an humble assembly, but we're really excited. So many things are going on. The internet, the gospel, and the Word of God going out over the whole world. Preparing for the young people this week. Right here in our own assembly. Growing in the knowledge of the Word of God. Fellowshipping with others who are like-minded. Father, we just pray you continue to use this assembly. We pray you receive the offerings that we're about to give. Use these offerings to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ our Savior. In His precious name we pray. Amen. I'd like to say just a word of praise and thanksgiving to God. Jerry, your arm's doing a lot better, right? It's healing good? All right, keep praying for his arm. He's going to need that to defend him from his mother-in-law. So, okay, anyone not have the copy, Fanatics for Christ? Anyone not have a copy? So everyone has a copy. Does the preacher's wife have a copy? Okay. All right. Fanatics for Christ. I've just got to have fun with you. Where does that come from? Look at the last page. I couldn't help but put this in. Couldn't help but put it in. It says, Lucy, talking to Charlie Brown, Merry Christmas, Charlie Brown. At this time of year, I think we should put aside all our differences and be kind. Why does it have to be for just this time of the year? Why can't it be all year round? What are you, some kind of fanatic? So, we are fanatics for Christ. Let's begin with the word of prayer. Purpose of the prayer, test yourself, see if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit, who is the teacher. Let's pray. We love your word, Father. It's a light into our path. It tells us about you and about your Son, your Spirit. It tells us who we are and what we ought to be doing. We pray now, Father, your Spirit will open our eyes to what we should exemplify in our lives each day. To this end, Father, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Colossians 3:12. Put on, as those chosen of God, doctrine of election, holy and beloved. It's really interesting. I was reading this week, and around 1335, and I'm really sorry, I didn't write the man's name down here, I got it at home. A man started teaching, ostracized by the Roman Church, that one, all believers are saints or priests. Well, that upset the church. But what was remarkable, in 1335, he said, Christ's real sufferings on the cross were not the pains of the cross, but the judgments from God. And I just went, wow. Well, I went on the internet, couldn't find him. So I went back to where I read the quote, and it was in some kind of a bishop's report back in that time frame. And so I went to Amazon, and they had the book. They had one. So I ordered the one book. So I'm hoping to find out about this guy, and I'm going to tell you about him. Because I was just blown away that he said it so clearly. But anyway, so, beloved, holy, and beloved. Now, what are we to put on? A heart of compassion. We studied that. Kindness. Now, define kindness. Don't do it out loud, just yourself. It's not really easy to define. We all think we know what it means, but defining it, well, it's right there with love. How do you define love? Not so easy to define. As we combine kindness, as we examine kindness biblically, remember this is what you and I are to put on every day. At home, in the church, work, social life, travel. This is what we are to exemplify. Heart of compassion, kindness. Kindness is very important to God, that He declares it to be one of the effects of spiritual love. 1 Corinthians 13:4. Love, spiritual love, is kind. The Greek word in Colossians 3:12 is the noun Christos, while in 1 Corinthians 13:4 it's describing the impact of spiritual love, and it's a verb. I know you read it, it sounds like a noun in English. In 1 Corinthians 13, love is kind. That's not a noun. It's a verb. And both the noun and the verb come from the root Christos, which simply means to furnish what is needed. And people, there is the understanding of kindness. Spiritual love sees a need. Remember, spiritual love observes. Spiritual love sees a need. I beckon you that your human love toward husband, wife, and friends sees a need. But spiritual love is characterized by seeing a need. So, this is what spiritual love does. Then the kindness of spiritual love meets that need in the best way to fulfill or satisfy that observed need. Christ saw our need. Look what it cost Him. The cross. That's what it was going to take. So, we have a fundamental understanding of what put on in Colossians 3:12 demands. To put on demands that we be filled with the Holy Spirit, and this by grace through faith. One of the interesting things about kindness is that most people do not think much about it, or even think about it, until we really need it. Let's begin with the biblical fact that kindness is a characteristic of God. Romans 2:4. Or do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness? I love that phrase. The riches of His kindness. And tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance. Think about this. What brought you to saving faith in Jesus Christ? Was it His kindness that brought you to fear? I love the amazing grace. Was. It was grace that taught me to fear. And it was the grace that removed that fear. It's the kindness of God. And then His kindness that fear relieved with the kind words of the gospel. First note the thinking that man has toward the riches of His kindness. Think lightly. The King James is closer to the heart of the Greek. Despiseth. I don't know when the last time was you said despiseth, but that's what the King James says. And it's a beautiful word. The word comes from a compound word made up of prefix meaning against, plus the word to think against. I love the Greek. Greek puts words together like this. So you got a compound word, to think, prefix against, to think against. To hold in contempt, to despise, or to think lightly of. This is how the unbelieving world thinks of God's kindness, expressed in His grace, offer of salvation. Not only does God offer kindness, but is rich in His kindness and tolerance and patience. Let me just use a very homespun definition of rich in kindness. When I see a phrase like this, I cannot help but think, and I know I've told you this before, when I was a little boy, and my mother would make a chocolate cake, and boy, it would be three layers, the dough, we didn't care about that, but here was a big pot of chocolate with peanuts in it, and she poured it over, and she spread it around. We could not touch the chocolate on the cake, but that flowed over, along around the edge of the cake, we could stand there and take our finger and get some. That's being rich. It overflows. His kindness overflows. Let's look. Romans 11:22. Behold, then the kindness and sovereignty of God to those who fail severity, but to you, God's kindness. If you continue in His kindness, otherwise, you also will be cut off. If you reject His kindness, you've rejected it yourself. He's not withdrawing it. You've rejected it. So, you lose out. Now, beautiful verse in Ephesians 2:7. So that, in the ages to come, He might show the surpassing riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. What's heaven going to be like? I guess we've all asked that question, asked somebody that question. I've asked it out loud in my 44 years in the ministry. Here's part of your answer. You will be receiving surpassing riches of His grace in kindness because of Christ. Now, how that's come across, I don't know. But I can tell you one thing, it's going to be even better than chocolate over a cake. It's going to be unbelievable. Kindness. What?
Chocolate on
bluebell. Oh, now you're talking rich. All right. Okay. First, this is a characteristic of God. Second, it is required by God of all believers. 2 Corinthians 6, kindness is demanded by God so that we do not offend the offering of the gospel. 2 Corinthians 6:3, giving no cause for offense in anything, so that the ministry will not be discredited. People, you can't give the gospel and act like a jerk. Nobody's going to want your gospel. It's not appealing. See? You know, and let me tell you something. When I say that, I want to counter that with a well-known story. See? And that story about a man who told to go to Nineveh. I'm not going to Nineveh. I'm going to Rome. I'm getting out of here. I'm going the opposite direction. Nineveh is that way. I'm going that way. Well, the Lord took a ship, big old whale, some kind of animal, picked him up, put him inside, kept him safe, took him across the Mediterranean, and spewed him out. Spewed him out up the river, the Euphrates River. So, he goes in, and he tells the Ninevites, you are going to hell, and you deserve it. God doesn't love, and you're not going to believe the gospel, so you're not going to, well, what's the gospel? You don't care, you're not going to believe it. What's the gospel? Okay, here's the gospel. But we believe that. No! You can't believe that! See? So that kind of counters, but don't plan on that very often. Don't plan on that. See? Be kind in the presentation of the gospel. It is not enough that we present the gospel in truth, but God cares very much how we as servants of God live our lives so as not to discredit our message. Verse 6, impurity in knowledge, that's important, in patience, in kindness, in or by no means of, or by means of the Holy Spirit in genuine love, our spiritual love. Here we should remember that it is the kindness of God that leads to repentance. If you present the gospel in the kindness, what's that going to do? It's going to lead to repentance. They're going to want to hear the gospel. They're going to want to pay attention to what you've got to say. Therefore, that same kindness coming from us in the power of the Holy Spirit may be the very impulse that unbeliever that you're talking with, you're speaking with, will be drawn to believe in your Jesus Christ, the Savior. Next, it is commanded of us in our study of Colossians chapter 3 as part of the clothing we are to put on, to be clothed in kindness. And people, let me just tell you something. We were talking, some of us back here. One of the most difficult places for spiritual love is at home, in your own family. Familiarity breeds contempt. There's no doubt about that. Familiarity breeds contempt. Familiarity between husband and wife, parent, child, brothers, sisters, cousins, everybody. It's tough. Kindness is needed in the home, at church, work, in your travel. And it's not that difficult. The power of the Spirit, it flows from you. Third, God, knowing that we cannot produce this kindness, we can't in the energy of the flesh, by our own self-will, has graciously provided the power and means for us to fulfill the command of the kindness he requires by making kindness part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. How can a believer live in an anti-Christian world? Galatians 5:22. There's no law against the fruit of the Spirit. Whatever else the law may do, there's no law against it. So you can produce the fruit of the Spirit. I must share this with you. John and I are very good friends. We just talk very personal to each other. We're talking about attendance Wednesday night. And he said, I have the Holy Spirit. I said, you had the Holy Spirit? What do you mean? He said, I had the divine nine. Nine people were there. I said, well, that sounds like mine. I don't know how divine they are. But he said, well, I just used that. But these are the fruit of the Spirit, people. Now, 4, kindness is one of the designated impacts of spiritual love. 1 Corinthians 13:4. I just put it this way so you see what a priority kindness is. Parents, this should be a priority to you in rearing your children. Kindness. Teaching your children. It's against the flesh nature. The flesh nature is mine. The spirit nature is kindness. 1 Corinthians 13:4. Love is long-suffering. The first thing Paul said about love is long-suffering. I don't know if that's very appealing to somebody who wants to learn about love. Well, it suffers long. Okay? Then the second impact of spiritual love, kindness. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. Love does not brag. Love is not arrogant. The first thing to note is that we are not kind. I hope you understand that. We're not kind. Kindness is what spiritual love is. How spiritual love affects us. Kindness here does not describe the believer. It describes spiritual love. Spiritual love is kind. Put on kindness, put on the Holy Spirit, the kindness will flow through you. But we're not kind. Spiritual love given to us by the Holy Spirit is kind. And that is what proceeds out from us when we're empowered by the Spirit by grace through faith. How are you filled with the Spirit? Same way you're saved, by grace through faith. See? And then this kindness flows out from you. So just understand, we're not kind. Put on kindness. What I'm trying to say is, you don't make a decision. I will be kind today. You don't make that decision. I will walk in the Spirit today. He will pour in kindness, compassion. And I think it's here somewhere. Let me just talk to you. I'm led to do it now. What is kindness? We don't know. I don't know what you need. I don't know what my wife needs. I don't know what my grandchildren need. I don't know what you need here. I don't know what you need in teaching. The Holy Spirit does. And the Holy Spirit is in me. The Holy Spirit's in you. Therefore, when I'm empowered by the Spirit, kindness comes out. See, you walk along and you look back and you go, wow, that's what kindness is. Now I know what kindness is. I'm going to duplicate that. No, it won't be the same tomorrow. The next time it'll be something else. That's why it's hard to define. It's what is needed. And only the Holy Spirit knows what is needed. And it's needed right then. If someone is criticized, maligned at work, maybe racial, whatever, and everybody just walks away leaving this person there, you go back to your desk, you think, you know what? I feel sorry for him. I'm going to go talk with him. That's fine. But you know what? It would be totally different than if he had gotten it right then. Right when his soul was pierced. Kindness sees a need and meets the need. The Good Samaritan. The man beat up by criminals. A priest walked by. Now, what if he had later on, you know, well, I really should. He goes back. He's gone. He's gone. Somebody else has already taken him. I'm glad you went back, but you're too late. Kindness is what is needed right then. Now, if you think about it later, I'm not saying don't, but I'm just saying kindness is what is needed right now. A kind word, a kind smile, a kind gesture, it's what is needed then. Not an hour from now, then. Okay, so let's move on. Spiritual love, therefore, we will cover this in much greater detail in the study of Sunday morning, 9:15 class. But the fact that the first impact of spiritual love is long-suffering. As we will discover, long-suffering of spiritual love protects you. Spiritual love being long-suffering means that spiritual love will not attack, you will not attack when rejected or ignored. But this creates a vacuum between you and another believer. Now let's then communicate. Here's another believer. The believer's offended you. And so, rather than attack, they've hurt you, let you down, whatever. Instead of attacking, spiritual love makes you long-suffering. That is you. It's edified you. But now there's a vacuum. What's that person going to get then? Is what I'm trying to say here is, if you do not strike out, then what? If you do not seek revenge, then what? If you do not start attacking them with your tongue, then what? If you do not just walk away, live and leave alone, then what? Why is it God, what is God's design that will fill the vacuum that long suffering creates? If we stop with long suffering in our analysis of spiritual love, we're only halfway there. Long suffering protects us. But this is not all there is to love. Any love, especially spiritual love. What about our purpose in being here? What about our witness of Jesus Christ? What about our purpose? Light of the world, salt of the earth, sweet fragrance in the midst of turmoil. What about the object of love? It's protected you, but what about the object of love? What about the impact that the world can see, that angels can see? Many believers would like to stop right here with long-suffering of love. They really don't care about the other person. They don't want to worry about the next impact of spiritual love. Kindness. Spiritual love is kind. Kindness is the other side of long-suffering. Long-suffering protects us. But spiritual love, being long-suffering, creates a vacuum between the two people. And spiritual love observes a need. Spiritual love cannot just walk away. No action, no reaction, no interaction, no impact. No spiritual love. No spiritual love. Amen. Spiritual love is long-suffering, and that protects you. Stabilizes you. But what about the interaction between you and the other person? Husband, wife, children, parents, friends, neighbors, family, church, work. What about them? They've hurt you. Or you think they've hurt you. You think they've wronged you. Okay. There may be occasion where in your mind, the best thing you can do is walk away and just avoid that person. All right. That may be fine in a few cases. But what about between a husband and wife? Parent and child, siblings, family members. You don't get to just walk away. Other believers at the local church or work. Relationships that you just simply cannot walk away from. What about these relationships? Remember the new commandment of spiritual love by Jesus Christ prior to His departure. You love one another, another believer, as I've loved you. He didn't walk away from us, people. He went to the cross for us. This is exactly why I'm not rushing through these characteristics that characterize one who is elect, holy, and beloved in Christ towards one another. I could bring you some excellent commentaries and make you one paragraph on the heart of compassion, one paragraph on kindness, on each one of these. People, this is too important to me. This is where you and I live. I want you to understand that you're elect. I want you to understand that you're holy. I want you to understand that you're beloved. But this is where you live. A heart of compassion. Kindness is where you and I live every day of our lives. This starts at home. Then extended to the family, to the local church, to work, and so on. So, repeat the question. Long-suffering or spiritual love protects you, stabilizes you. But what about the interaction of two believers in the same house, same family, same church? See? So, we now come to the impact of spiritual love that motivates constructive interaction. The vacuum is now filled with kindness. That's what you don't want to give it. That's what they do not deserve from you. But spiritual love says that's what they need. And that's what you give under the filling of the Spirit. If you have spiritual love from the Holy Spirit, then your love will be kind. Even when you think kindness is not what is needed. Kindness is not what is deserved. I ask you the question, when you think that, did you deserve the kindness of the cross? Not a one of us ever did. But He did it for us. If your love does not have kindness, then you do not have the love of Christ. If you are not kind in your dealings with others, then you are not filled with the Holy Spirit. And don't say that you are. Don't say that you love Christ. Don't walk away. I love Christ. I don't love them, but I love Christ. Doesn't work that way. But if you are wise, you will make kindness even part of your human love. But we're talking about spiritual love here. It is not by accident. It is not arbitrary decision that God the Holy Spirit guided Paul in focusing first on long-suffering, protecting you, then followed by kindness, filling up the vacuum. They are related in a dramatic way. There is a. I hope you'll make it possible to come to our study at the 9:15 class on Sunday morning. Because you're going to find that as we go through the 16 impacts of love, they work in parallels, pairs. Doesn't brag. It's not jealous. We'll just see how the Holy Spirit works on these. There are two sides of all of these things. So, let's continue here. There's a complementary dynamics between long-suffering and kindness. Together they create an environment of love that all can see. And this is very important to Jesus Christ. Remember, He gave in the new commandment, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Now, look at the impact. By this, loving as Christ loved, all, forget the word man, all, human and angels, will know that you are my disciples if you have this love toward one another. They can't see love. They see the impact of it. It hits them. They're drawn to it. The long-suffering of spiritual love and kindness of spiritual love creates an environment that the world can see and know something important about you. That you're a follower of Jesus Christ. Yes.
I'm not sure I understand the difference between the spiritual love, as in the long-suffering, versus just being a pushover. Is there any difference?
Between spiritual love and what?
Being a pushover.
and been a pushover, the difference between spiritual life and
let me tell you something. I'm glad you asked.
How do you think Jesus Christ looked on that cross? Like a pushover. Weak. Weak. Of no account. A king? A king? An important person? Ha! Look at him! People, spiritual love will often make you look weak. Spiritual love will often make you look weak. You have to know what you're doing is in the power of the Holy Spirit, and then leave all the repercussions to Him. Leave it all to Him. But it will. That's a good question. It will make you look that way. Now, let's go through some summary points. One, long-suffering of spiritual love protects you. Protects all you are in Christ and all you possess in Christ. Long-suffering allows you to maintain all you have in Christ. You maintain the filling of the Holy Spirit because of long-suffering. You don't get out of fellowship because you're long-suffering. Point two, kindness allows the other person to hold on what they have in Christ. I pray that I can convey to you all the wonders God has made in spiritual love. Spiritual love is not just about you. Spiritual love is not just about the other person. Spiritual love is not just about God. It's not just about Jesus Christ, people. Spiritual love is so dynamic that it affects all of these and more. It affects angels watching. Other members of the human race, maybe unbelievers watching. Kindness is so powerful in any relationship. Remember that spiritual love is thoughtful of the object of love. Beneficial to them. Sacrificial on their part for the spiritual benefit of the other person. I feel sorry for a woman who meets a man who exemplifies the kindness and thinks he's weak and walks away from him. You may have just walked away from the greatest man you'll ever meet. Don't worry about those things. Look and see if you see the kindness of spiritual love. Point three, long-suffering protects you by preventing you from fleshly reactions, seeking revenge, bursting out in anger or wrath in any way that you might desert the spirit-filled life. But what are you going to do? If no anger, if no revenge, if not leading the spirit-filled life by sins of the tongue, or mental attitude sins, or overt sins, what are you going to do then? What is the world going to see coming from you? What is going to be there if not reaction? If not sarcastic tongue? Spiritual love has impact. Spiritual love is a force, and as a force has effect. It is the property of spiritual love as a force to have impact, effect. So, in no impact, no spiritual love, people. Point four. Now, sometimes when I write these things and I send this to Kit, I know perfectly well what I'm saying. But it doesn't always come across. I hope this comes across to you between what I put down and how Kit kind of smoothed it out and we worked together on this. So let's see if you got it. Let's examine effect and effect of spiritual love. Spiritual love affects the other person. How it affects them is the effect of spiritual love. Simply stated, spiritual love from you affects others. How it affects them is the effects of spiritual love It comes from them. I hope that's clear. Example. You respond with kindness to someone who has done something in anger toward you. That kindness may have the effect of disarming their anger. And that's what you wanted. There you have it. There's the effect of the effect of your love. They're no longer angry at you. Look at God's kindness. God's kindness has the effect of drawing people to repentance. A parent at home, a teacher at school, a pastor teacher in a local church desires a certain effect on those they are teaching. So the teacher thinks of the best, thinks of the best effective way to get the desired effect. Example. Down power lines affect the city of Dallas. The effects are loss of refrigeration, loss of the flow of traffic. So, the effect, of the down line, the effects of that are the loss of refrigeration, slow traffic. For God, spiritual love affects. Goes from one in spiritual love to another. And affects the object of the love to draw out of that person what you desire. From God to the unbeliever, the desired effect is repentance. A change in mind. Every young girl should be taught to be careful of her desired effect from a young man who may affectionately talk with her. What does he want from you? What's the effect he's looking for? Is he looking for sexual results? That's why he affects you with that, hoping to get that effect from you? Be careful. Be warned. Hope you're beginning to grasp the impact, the effect of spiritual love. 5. What does kindness add to spiritual love now? Why did God make spiritual love to be kind? Why does God command believers in Jesus Christ who are elect, holy beloved, to be kind to others? Colossians 3:12, Galatians 5:22, the word for kindness is qualifying words. But in 1 Corinthians 13:4, it's a verb. The present indicative of the verbal form for kindness. Why is the verbal form used here? This is the action of spiritual love. It's a verb. Here's the action of it. This is what the world sees. This is what angels see. Oh, people, I hope you understand. Angels are watching and learning. They're watching and learning from you. An unbeliever comes to God and says, all I have to offer you is my faith. Angels take their eyes off of you and turn their eyes on God and ask, is that going to be enough? Is that all that you require? Is that what kind of God you are? They're learning about God. Just as we learn about God. Is all you require an empty hand with faith? What kind of God is that? They learn about God. God cares what people learn about Him. Angels learn about God from us. How we love. See, this is the whole issue here. This is what the world sees. Angels see. They see the action of spiritual love when they see kindness. This is the inherent action of love. If your love is Jesus Christ's love, your love will be kind. If your love is not kind, do not deceive yourself and say that your loving is Christ's love. Do not say you're fulfilling the new commandment, because you're not. Your love from the flesh and is therefore self-centered, self-satisfying, self-pleasing. Your love is for the benefit of yourself at the sacrifice of others. Has no impact in the angelic conflict. Your love is not sacrificial on your part for the spiritual benefit of another, which is the only way Christ loves. for the benefit of another. Sacrificial to him, beneficial to the other. If your love is not that, don't say that your love is Christ's love, people. Just walk away and be content with your self-centeredness. But don't deceive yourself. Six, it is time to attempt at defining kindness. Subpoint one. It is from the Greek root, or the root of the Greek word, that we gain a basic understanding of kindness, of spiritual love itself. It is used to describe someone or something that is useful, serviceable, edifying, suitable for a specific purpose. This is one of the qualities of kindness as to spiritual love. It causes spiritual love to be useful, serviceable to others. Secondly, the Greek word for kindness is a relational word. That is, kindness adds to the understanding of love. Kindness refers to what is directed toward others. The inherent action of love toward others is kindness. Here is the action that is needed in love. Kindness. Three, kindness seeks the good for others. Kindness is what is useful. Kindness seeks the good for others. Kindness is not negative. I was kind to him by not hitting him. I'm sorry. This is not kindness of spiritual love. In fact, this is not love at all. It's not even impersonal love. You know what that is? That's kindness and love by law. It's against the law to hit him. You'll get in trouble if you hit him. It's against the law. That's love by law, kindness by law. Has nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. Nothing whatsoever. Kindness of the spiritual love, kindness that God demands of every believer, is doing good to others, even when they do not deserve your being good to them. No one deserves kindness. This is one of the reasons kindness is so dynamic. It has the effect of letting the world know that you are a believer and follower of Jesus Christ. It is because of kindness that others should ask, how can you love that way? How can you be so kind to that person, the way they treated you? To which we humbly reply, this is not my love. This is how my Savior friend loved me. His love is kind, and His Spirit pours that same love through me. This is characteristic of the love of Christ. This is characteristic of the love that comes from the Holy Spirit. Four, and this is too important to be a subpoint four, but here it is. This kindness is not something you decide to do or express. This is what spiritual love does. Kindness is not a quality that finds value in its expression. Kindness is not a quality that finds value in its expression, but in its very makeup, its very essence. This is the point Jesus Christ is making in Luke 5:39, where our Lord uses this same word to describe wine of all things. Luke 5:39. And no one, after drinking old wine, wishes for new. For he says, the old is good enough. The word good enough is our word kind. The old is kind. Now, I'm not here to give you a lesson on wine, but let's learn from Jesus Christ here. The point is that wine can only convey what it is. If sour, then it tastes sour. If kind, then kindness. Our Lord is speaking here. He says, no one, after drinking old wine, wishes for new. The principle here is that usually wine, good wine, gets better with age. I'm having trouble convincing my wife that as I get older, I get better. But that's the idea. The older wine is, the better it gets. For he says, the old wine is kind. If you see it in the NASB in the margin, that enough is not part of the original manuscript. The old is wine that when with age has become better, finer, richer, kinder. The old wine is good. And our word the Lord uses for good is the word kindness. The old wine is kind, gentle, meaning this old wine is pleasant to the taste, in contrast to the new wine, which may be rather harsh, not smooth to the taste. Now, the point here that I want you to get, kindness penetrates that whole bottle, penetrates the whole nature of the wine. It is not kind at the top, bitter at the bottom. The constitution of the wine is kind all the way through. It is kind throughout. Secondly, this is important, wine cannot express what it is not. A sour wine cannot be kind. Thirdly, and very important, is that wine expresses that kindness to anyone who tastes it. It gives the same kindness to a person who knows absolutely nothing about wine and would be totally happy with Red Ripple. They'd totally happy. You got a nice bottle of Bordeaux, they'd be perfectly happy with Ripple. Doesn't matter to Bordeaux. It's going to give the same kind taste to that person who knows nothing, to the snob over here who enjoys every aspect of it. The look, the smell, the nose, the all of it. Same taste. Same taste to the snob as to the slob. I don't know where that came from. But it's the same taste. See? It cannot change. It's going to be the same. See? Wine doesn't decide, you know what? This person isn't going to appreciate me. Therefore, I'm not going to put out my best for him. Spiritual love doesn't do that. Spiritual love doesn't say, you know what? This person's a jerk. They don't deserve spiritual love. Spiritual love can't do that. This person is a believer in Christ. I will be kind. I will express the kindness of spiritual love. That's the point that Christ is making here with wine. See? The believer is kind to anyone, to everyone. Some may respond and are favorably affected, while others ignore or even reject your kindness. I don't know if you've ever had your kindness rejected. I have. I'm sure you have. You don't get mad and, well, I just throw this whole bottle of wine at you. No, you let it go. They rejected your kindness. Well, God does. This is not up to you. This is not, should not, will not, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, change your kindness. If they reject it, at home, church, work, life, friends, whatever, that's their decision. That's their decision. Your decision is to love, have kindness in your love. That's your decision. See, it's not my responsibility who comes to class Wednesday nights, early Sunday morning, this class Sunday morning. It's not mine. My responsibility is to be prepared. Whether it's 5 or 500. To be prepared best I can as under the Lord. With all the training that He's given me. That's my responsibility. Not mine who comes and what you do with it. That's the thing with kindness. It's not your responsibility what they do with your kindness. Your responsibility is to be kind. The richer your spiritual love is, the kinder it will reveal itself. Spiritual love is kind. Therefore, it always conveys kindness, like kindness in wine. It penetrates the entire essence of the wine. So spiritual love is penetrated by kindness, and kindness is what is conveyed to others. Point 7. Kindness is that property of spiritual love that causes you to be kind to everyone, fulfilling the command of Colossians 3:12, put on kindness. The kindness of spiritual love imparts benefits to others. There is no spiritual love where there is no spiritual benefit to others. Of course, this does not mean that everyone will reach out and be affected by your kindness. So don't expect that every time, and certainly not react every time your kindness is not received by others. Go into prayer for that person, but do not react to them. Continue to remain kind in the filling of the Spirit. It may be your 25th act of kindness that finally penetrates their soul. Don't you count them. Let the Lord worry about that. Remember, this is what God expects from you. Out from the fruit of the Holy Spirit from you. Out from spiritual love. By this, all will know that you are my disciples when you love as I have loved you. Question. Can you see love? Can you see gravity? No. No more than you can see the wind. But you know the wind is there because of the effect of the wind. You know that the wind is there because you are affected by the wind. You know gravity is there because you see the effect of gravity. You know gravity is there because you are affected by gravity. You know kindness is there because you're affected by kindness. You know kindness is there because you're drawn to and by kindness. 1:8. Compare heart of compassion and kindness. This was difficult for me. They're almost like each other, don't you think? Heart of compassion and kindness. Let's compare and contrast. Okay, first, let's see what we learned from the basic Greek words used for each of these virtues. The Greek word for compassion means to have compassion on or pity, but not as strong as the word mercy. In classical Greek, it was used to denote the lamenting that occurred at the death or misfortune of another. It expresses the sympathy and pity that one felt toward another that often manifested itself, right out of a lexicon, manifested itself in some form of assistance. This word is used when referring to what one feels or shows for the suffering of another. The Greek word for kindness comes from the Greek word to furnish what is needed, useful, profitable. It comes from the root word meaning need. In classical Greek, it need means kindness, goodness, honesty, especially in a behavioral sense. In classical Greek, this word was not always used in a positive way. Too much kindness in the face of evil might be considered as soft-hearted. To get to the practical comparison of these two virtues, let's examine them as characteristics of God. God, in showing compassion, God seeks to help our afflictions. In showing kindness, God seeks to draw us to Himself. That's the best thing I can give you if you want to pinpoint some distinction between heart of compassion and kindness. Kindness and compassion, He seeks to help our affliction. In kindness, He seeks to draw us to Himself. In showing compassion in 2 Corinthians 1:3, God seeks to show us how to show compassion to others who are suffering. Romans 12:1, God shows compassion to motivate believers to present their bodies as living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God. God shows His kindness when we were His enemies by sending His Son to die on the cross. In Romans 3:12, Titus 3:4, Paul points out that in our human nature, No one can be as kind as God. Therefore, to be kind to one another before God demands the filling of the Spirit. To express the virtue of compassion is nearly always with the offering of help, so that person can advance in their spiritual lives. To express the virtue of kindness is often to appeal to reconciliation, a peace between two people. And yes, Lucy, we are fanatics for the kindness of Christ in our dealings with others. Let's close in a word of prayer. First, Father, we praise you because you're a God of kindness. We learn it from you. We receive it from your Spirit. We enjoy the benefits of it. What a masterful, sovereign plan. The genius of your being. What you have designed. That we, mortals, with sin natures, can exemplify the same love, the same kindness that comes from you. We stand amazed. And Heavenly Father, therefore, it is our objective to have this kindness constantly flowing through us. Be more like you, more like your Son. In his precious name we pray. Amen.